Welcome to CS Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 151 of CS Radio. I'm J. Michael DeAngelis.
And I'm Natty Leach.
Natty, it's the start of our second sesquicentennial.
Sesquicentennial.
150. My freshman year at Muhlenberg was their 150th anniversary, so burned in my head is the word sesquicentennial. And I kicked myself for not saying it during our 150th. So this is the
start. Make up for it now.
This is the start of our second sesquicentennial.
I'll leave that word to you. I'll abstain from even trying that one.
The start of a second 150 episodes brings a lot of new things and a lot of new faces. And we're excited to have on board with us today our new student producer, Sam. Welcome, Sam.
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Sam, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background? You're a freshman here at Penn?
I'm a sophomore, yeah. Oh. Sam Pasco, sophomore from San Francisco, California. Enjoying it, feel like a freshman with COVID. I feel like I just got here.
Yeah.
But enjoying it a lot, studying communications, minoring in statistics. So that's the plan. Happy to help out here any way I can. I've been listening for a little bit, too. Not all 150. That's a lot.
That's a lot. It's a lot to binge.
But I here and there, here and there. Always tuning in.
That's great. So... three out of our four student producers have been from California.
Really?
Yeah. Hey. And one from Colorado.
Sunshine State.
So we're so happy to have you. And Sam, you've had some interesting background, particularly during the pandemic. You became quite the expert in Korean baseball.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes. When American sports were put on pause back in March 2020, I still wanted to cover sports in some capacity. I'd covered the San Francisco Giants. But the only thing going on then was actually the Lotte Giants and the Korean baseball organization. I had interviewed some of the guys over there and started covering it for a daily fantasy sports information company, RotoWire, and now a big KBO fan, NC Dinos, let's go. So, yeah, looking forward to what's going to be my third season covering the league. So, should be exciting.
That's fantastic. Well, we're so glad to have you with us. And as we mentioned last week, it's a time of tremendous change at Penn and in career services, and we have a lot of new staff members, and we're really happy to have a new friend with us today. Welcome, Lisa, to the show.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lisa. I'm the new admin coordinator for a bunch of teams that aren't super interesting to list out, so I won't
do it anyway.
No, I really like, because I'm going to get in trouble because I need a sticky note in order to remember which ones we don't serve.
It's a lot of acronyms.
We can help you out.
It's a lot.
Lisa serves the graduate student and postdoc population, as well as the team that works with nursing, education, and social work schools.
Yes, GSE
yes,
and
also PhDs.
And yes. PhDs, as well. All the acronyms you're in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa, can you tell us a little bit about your background and where you came to us from?
Yeah, sure. I'm a recent graduate from Temple University, actually. There I studied geography and urban studies. So this is actually a job that's a bit out of my field because I'm doing a lot more admin work instead of technical stuff with GIS, which is what I was doing previously. But I kind of decided to make a pivot in my career and decided to sort of go to a more person-facing role, which is how I landed here in career services. And it's been great so far. I've been here a little over a month.
Yeah, and we've loved to have you. Even I know when you were first getting on board, there was a lot of talk, GIS background. There might be some cool things that Lisa can help us out with. Has anything stood out as ways that you can kind of see connecting your previous background with the types of things that we do here in career services?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, in my previous roles, I used a lot of technology that I assume career services does not partake in. Some of it was obsolete. Some of it was, you know, Esri products that kind of require a lot of money to pay for to maintain. But I can definitely see areas where spatial analytics can come into play. You know, I think that Penn is such a large school with such a far-reaching alumni and faculty and staff that it'd be so interesting to see, you know, where people end up and sort of like, you know, if you can build sort of like Penn communities out of that. But that's a really big project. And I'm still getting my feet wet in just like the day-to-day things. So that might be something that I save for when I have a little bit more time to really think about it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that we already deal in a very basic way with some sort of spatial analysis in our data, as just in terms of tracking where our students go to work, which is a question that we, in fact, I actually just got asked the other day by an employer who said, we assume mostly New York and LA, but we're in Vermont. So how many folks do you have go to Vermont? And, you know, it's a non-zero number.
A few.
Yeah. So that sort of information is in demand. And I am an advocate, and I know Natty feels the same way, about as much data transparency that we can have, as much data that we can share, can only be a benefit to our students and our partners like employers.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, employers is a great example where they come and ask. But we all the time want to share things with students who might say, you know, I'm kind of interested in working back home, which maybe is Vermont, maybe it could be anywhere. But I wonder if there are Penn connections I could explore just in my local region or in the region that I'm identifying, even if it ends up being maybe internationally, maybe Korean baseball they want to get into. And we have a map of what that looks like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one of the first emails I remember getting in my inbox, which I felt very out of my depth to answer, but I still tried my best, was someone relocating from the Philly suburbs to Boston, and was like, you know, wondering if there were, he was a graduate of the Graduate School of Education. So he was wondering if there's contacts there, you know, what to do there. And, you know, I think that different graduate schools will definitely have a different handle on, you know, what sort of areas we still have a presence in. But I think any way that we can connect that more, especially with people, you know, I saw in my previous roles, a lot of people moving around because of the flexibility of remote work. So I feel like that's another facet of the labor industry that's really changing too.
Absolutely. Some of my friends who used to be only in New York or only in LA are suddenly moving back to Philly. My friends from high school moving back to Philly because doesn't matter where they live anymore. Their company, my friend was just telling me that one person, they all moved all over the country. One went to Texas, one went to San Fran, one went to New York, one went to Tennessee. So it was really interesting to hear how even in one small company, everyone just started spreading out all of a sudden and buying houses in all these different cities.
Yeah, it has been really interesting. My good friend's boss, they work out of a Manhattan office. And so, you know, they weren't going to the office for a year and change. And my friend's boss said, you know, I think I'm going to work out of Austin, Texas from now on. It's like, just, I like being there. And then the New York office said, no, people should really come back and be in the office. And he was like, uh-oh.
Whoops.
But as I understand it, so he's splitting his time between New York and Austin, which, hey, if you can do it, Good on you.
So much power is in the workers' hands now as it used to be, that you see so much that people have more influence in terms of saying, this is my situation and this is how the kind of schedule that I'd like to build, more than it was before, where it's just traditional, you need to work 9 to 5, you need to be in this, your butt needs to be in this specific seat. And it's really cool to see the flexibility that's being created around those types of ideas.
Yeah, for sure. I almost want to like flex that power. Well, I don't necessarily have it at Career Services because a lot of my work, actually, I do need to be in office. But, you know, there's almost a part of me that wants to just like move cross country. I've stayed around the Philly area, Philly suburbs my entire life since I'm from the Philly suburbs. And I'm kind of like, you know, isn't this my chance to go cross country and just do like remote work full time?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's hard for our office. That would be really cool. But, I mean, you are talking to us now live from Zoom.
That's right. You are taking advantage of some flexible work today, correct?
Yeah, working from home, working from my couch next to my cat.
So you could be in Austin, Texas, if you...
for all we know.
That would be a heck of a turnaround to be back in the office tomorrow. But, yeah, I think this is... this is something that we're going to, I think, you know, Natty, as someone who works more directly with students than Lisa and I, are you already hearing this as something that people, students are really looking for now as they start their job search, is that they really are looking for flexibility in terms of where the work happens?
It's a bit of a mix. There's actually so many students who instead are thinking, I really want to make sure that this is in a specific geographic location. Yeah. I think a lot of really similar to Lisa's point that you just made, now's my chance to move to this area I've always been thinking about, go over to California or whatever it might be. I've heard quite a few students who are targeting employers who are in a specific region, just because even if they're not going to be in the office, they'd love to learn more about that geographic region that they haven't been in previously. But I've certainly heard other stories too from students who really want that flexibility and are able to now almost demand that or have that be a really right up front as something that they want to see. And there's lots of options for that.
Yeah, it's a really, it's a major change I've seen, you know, having been in career services for over a decade and seeing that as something that used to be like a hot button negotiation, like, oh, you could ask to work from home or to work, you know, work from Philly for a New York company. You can try, but don't like, don't bet the farm on it.
Yeah, that was risky before.
Now, yeah, could be a really easy thing to get.
Yeah, now they might even be surprised if you don't ask about what those options might be.
Yeah, so that'll definitely be something that'll be very interesting to see evolve. Lisa, I know you've only been here a short while, but I'm wondering, what are some of the things that you are hearing from the populations you serve? What seem to be sort of the frequently asked questions right now?
My frequently asked questions tend to be within the realm of just like, when can I get an advising appointment?
I mean, that's a great question. That's a big question.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like both of my teams are recovering from understaffing. And so that question sometimes is a, you know, kind of a shrug of the shoulders. But it's really interesting to see just how many students or alumni will, when they're asking about an advising appointment, will really specify a career path that's really different from what you'd expect from their major. Like there was someone who graduated from the social policy graduate school, but they wanted to do stuff in illustration and graphic design. So that's something that, you know, I want to continue bringing up to my team members, as well as, you know, how do we connect people? Because, you know, Penn's really huge. I'm sure there's people who are really informed on what those industries are like. And I don't want to box anyone into, you know, just the advisors who see these types of majors and everything. So I think it's just really, you know, maybe it speaks to also like the flexibility that remote work is opening up, that people are kind of just like, you know, going across. I mean, even in my last team meeting, we were talking about, you know, the one team that advises nursing, education, and social policy students, they're seeing an uptick in students who will ask about consulting work, kind of like the business world, and sort of, you know, like, does that put them at a disadvantage? And as someone who kind of crossed over disciplinaries, I want to say that it doesn't put you at a disadvantage, and that it can actually be really nice to kind of come from a different perspective. But, you know, that's just me. Maybe I'm just speaking from personal experience.
No, we are all huge proponents of your major does not need to dictate your future career path. It's something that we have preached many times on the podcast.
Many times.
So it's a great thing that you've not been here a long time, but you've already identified that as being an important thing.
Yeah, we've talked, you know, very recently on the show about how being that person who doesn't fit the mold can often really make you stand out as well. You know, if only because it gets people's attention to go, oh, that's interesting. This person has an education background and they're thinking about coming on board this consulting firm. I'd like to talk to them about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of fascinating connections you make. Even you as an example, as I mentioned earlier, Joseph had shared with me before I even met you that you have a really interesting background in GIS and that we should talk more about what that means. So even that stood out for your own situation of kind of crossing potentially those different types of industries or ideas between your undergrad or your degree and your future career.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think also it's just like when you go through any sort of degree program, you spend so much time in such a theoretical space and classes, even if built into your program is field placement, it can just be so different. You know, I had internships that were so heavily focused on GIS things, and I really enjoyed those. And that's why, you know, following graduation, I was seeking GIS analyst positions. You know, it's just something that you don't really know until you enter the workforce. Internships can give you an idea, but really, I think nothing can really replace just having that full-time position at a company. And you kind of like look at, you know, yourself and where you are and maybe your superiors, you know, do I want to be where they are in 5 years, in 10 years? And you just kind of like go from there and you just kind of, you know, I really admire anyone else who also makes that decision of just kind of diverging, you know, and just sort of seeking out different opportunities and things they might kind of be good at that deviate outside of what they studied.
Yeah, and I really admire and have taken the tact myself of how can I bring my background to this job? You know, what can I bring that's, you know, sort of a fresh take on it that can really benefit the office? So I think, you know, while Career Services has not used GIS in the past, we do have an interest in data for sure, as you know, and Penn, there are many offices at Penn that do have GIS. So, you know, how can we use your talents to enhance the data offerings and the data sets that we have and make them more accessible and make them more useful to our advisors and to our users? Just in the same way that, you know, Natty and Milan and I said, you know, we are all could be pretty good at this podcasting thing. What if we brought that to the office, you know? Or, you know, Joseph, we talked last week, his sort of creative impulse and the way he uses that to rethink the way he serves students and the way we offer programming to our students. So I'm really excited to see where your talents and interests in GIS eventually intersect with us here in Career Services.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, I can definitely see kind of like everyone's different background. You know, I'm still getting situated in the office. I don't even know, you know, like necessarily what people studied way back when they were first getting their degrees in the office. But I can still tell that there's just like so many different paths that people have taken to get to Career Services. And I feel like it really shows in kind of the different initiatives they take or the different work that they produce. And thank you for acknowledging the GIS skills. I almost feel like they're not honed to quite a point where, you know, I'm a little like, I will say, you know, like I'm excited, but also like a little apprehensive about taking on a project where like, you know, I would be like maybe the only point person, maybe the only person with, you know, like in-field GIS skills. But I think, you know, everyone likes pictures. I feel like what's nice about GIS is that you get like a nice picture at the end of it. And I worked a lot with trying to also kind of make pictures for people, or sorry, I should stop saying pictures, make maps or graphs or other spatial analytic devices that are easy to read for people who don't work with those things. And actually, that's one of my favorite things, is making something super accessible, because I personally don't want anyone to have to suffer through, you know, the many layers that I go through. I would love a more simplified version for the public.
That's a great point. And you, I mean, you said pictures a lot, but different styles work better for different people, and visualizing something is sometimes more helpful than just hearing about it or just reading about it. So I think it is a great point.
Well, Lisa, we were so grateful that you made some time to talk with us today. It's great to get to know you. It's great to introduce you to our audience. Same for you, Sam. It's so exciting to have you on board. We're looking forward to many more episodes with you behind the board.
Looking forward to it. Another 150. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's do it. Only took me 7.5 years to get this far.
Say the word again.
Sesquicentennial.
I can't follow.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Sesquicentennial. All right. Thank you, Lisa. And we'll see you all next time on CS Radio.
This podcast is presented by University of Pennsylvania Career Services, a division of University Life.
It was created by Milan Kirshner and J. Michael DeAngelis.
It was produced and hosted by J. Michael DeAngelis and Natty Leach, and mixed and edited by Sam Pasco. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you're listening. See you next time on CS Radio.